Morning, Tabernacle. Ready to hear the word? So we're going to continue in our series. Actually, we're concluding our series entitled The Tech-Wise People of God. And if you think about what's happened the last 4 weeks, the first week, I went through a high-level overview of the impact of technology on our lives. Week two, Andrew talked about our technology tools and pruning these tools so that we abide with Christ more than we do abiding with our smartphones and our devices. Week three, last week, Pastor Artie spoke about the whole idea of technology's impact on community and how we're to use technology to love our neighbor rather for harm. And today we're going to focus on creating your game plan, your tech-wise game plan for success. So today's going to be a call to action. Today's a call to action, which is why all of you, regardless of your age, has a sheet on the seat that you are sitting where we want you to be active and taking notes. If you're part of the online community, there's a PDF form you can download and use that as well. So we want everybody engaged as you create your game plan for success. I was watching a movie once where, when I was watching it, sometimes this happens, you're right, you can almost predict what's going to happen, right? So there was this woman that was being terrorized by this bad guy, and then there was this good guy that came on the scene that was going to take care of the bad guy, and I knew what was going to happen, right? They were going to get the bad guy, he was going to end up in prison, the good guy was going to fall in love with the girl, and they're going to live happily ever after, right? You can just predict it, you can just see what's going to happen. But this time, this movie, something was done completely different. The script was flipped. And all of a sudden, the good guy wasn't the good guy, the bad guy wasn't the bad guy, and it was like, whoa, blew my mind. The screenwriter, so I'm thinking, the screenwriter who wrote this movie is thinking, the normal script goes like this, but I'm going to rewrite the end of this script so it has a different outcome. And so when I think of technology, a script is being written in our lives. And our screenwriter is saying, I want to rewrite the script for the rest of your story. It's time to flip the script. Say to your neighbor, it's time to flip the script. And so today's message is entitled, It's time to flip the script. And I want that to just sink deeply into you today. It's time to flip the script. Now, flipping the script means to reverse a situation by doing something unexpected. And God wants to do something unexpected in your life today so you can reverse any negative direction that's happening in your life. It's time to flip the script. And so our passage for today is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her smartphone and all the alerts and the notifications and looking at her last post, how many posts did she... No. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And listen to Jesus' response. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So Martha was distracted by all these things. We get distracted by all this stuff. But Mary chose what was better, spending time with Jesus. Less time being distracted means more time with Jesus. Less time being distracted means more time spending with Jesus. So given our series, the question we need to ask ourselves is, are these electronic devices distracting us from our time with God? Or are we actively managing them in such a way that we can maximize our time with Jesus? Think of an ice sculptor. You're going to see a picture image on the screen here. Think of an ice sculptor. It starts with a block of ice, right? That's what he starts with. And they use tools to kind of carve it and to shape it and to form it. And if they use the wrong tool, it's going to turn out misshapen. But if you look at this next image, you'll see tools that were used to create this beautiful image. This beautiful image. Every tool we use, every tech tool we use, shapes and forms us in some way. Every tool we use shapes and forms us in some way. C.S. Lewis said, every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you into something a little different from what it was before. You're slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. Every choice you make is either turning us away from God or turning us towards God. So as we finish our series, we've got to ask ourselves the question, how are these tech tools shaping and forming us? Are they moving us towards God, or are they distracting us away from God? Now, I want to be clear. There's some great uses of technology. I love technology, right? I spoke to someone the other day who's on an analytics team of a grocery store chain, and he's designing their online website experience so that when you go to order product, it reduces the amount of clicks you need to take to get the product. And he's also not incentivizing you in some way to spend more than you need. So he's ethically thinking through it. That's a great use of technology. I spoke just a week ago with the vice president of marketing of a global billion-dollar corporation. And we were engaged discussing about marketing, using social media for marketing, talked about, you know, data and analytics and digital optimization, all for how to sell and promote products. Again, there's great uses of technology. I love using my device when it comes to saving time, you know, not waiting at restaurants, you know, to-do lists, you know, listening to music, listening to certain podcasts, things like that. And if you ever see me shouting at my phone, I'm shouting at Siri to call someone. Siri, call my wife. Siri, call my son. Siri, call my daughter. So I love using technology. But what you need to understand, and the other thing I want to be clear on, I made it very clear that the first message that we're to engage technology, but to keep it in its proper place. We need to be a generation of people who are leaders in creating great content and social platforms that become a blessing to all people. But what you need to understand is that you and I are in the midst of a major social experiment. We're in the midst of a major social experiment over the last 10, 15 years. That's what the documentary, the Social Dilemma, was all about. Not even put together by Christians. It was like insiders are saying, there's some dangerous things here we got to be careful with. You and I are in the midst of a major social experiment. 81%. And so just think about what's happened in the last 10 years. You got this explosion of smartphone technology. You got this explosion of social media platforms, and the convergence of the two has created a shift in behavior that I don't think we've seen. I don't know if it's ever before, but in a long, long time. 81% of all Americans own a smartphone, up from 31% 10 years ago. So we're abiding with devices now that we didn't 10, 15 years ago. The impact on our lives is staggering, and we're still trying to figure out all the effects of this. But after 10 years, we've learned the following. We've learned that many social media organizations and news media design their model like a slot machine. It's all built around distraction and addiction to keep you on their site as long as possible. So they can monetize it. So you can buy advertising and they can get money from this. They're intentionally designed for distraction and addiction. They also feed your biases. They're constantly suggesting information to you based upon your previous, you know, searches. And what that does is it leads to polarization. We learned from Andrew that this whole window of time between desire and fulfillment is shortened. So the whole idea of delayed gratification, which is important to all of us, gets shortcutted and stunted. We also find that the world of Facebook, YouTube, and gaming becomes so mesmerizing that we can start living in a fantasy world rather than really living in a real physical world. And the question, you know what the question Instagram lovers often ask? Is it grammable? You know what grammable is? It's this idea that we're gonna post this perfect picture, right? And so we stage the picture and we apply filters to the photos so that it presents us as having this perfect, idyllic situation. And if we're not careful, we fall into the game of comparison, which steals our joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Did you know that the inventor of the like feature with Facebook totally regrets having made it? He wishes he never had made that feature. Think about what it's done. He says the whole design was for positivity. He had a good use for it. But he said what he's found out is that what this created was this desire for it to attract approval and popularity. Think about it. It causes us to seek approval and popularity. All of a sudden, we start doing and saying things to kind of feed into that. And he said, instead of spreading positivity, it's increased anxiety, depression, and fragility. He wished he never had invented the like button. And when we get so consumed with posting comments, we easily slide into what Pastor already shared last week, self-promotion and brand management. So in summary, think about this. We're abiding with our smartphones 24/7. We spend hours a day screen time on our devices. On average, we look at our phones 96 times a day, which is once every 10 minutes. Teen suicide, self-harm, anxiety, and depression have increased dramatically. Add to this, bad news travels faster than good news, and lies spread 6 times faster than truth, and you got what we're dealing with today. And we've got to ask ourselves the question, are these tools making us healthier or are they making us sick? Are these tools turning us towards God or are they distracting us away from God? A script is being written in your life. Is it time to flip the script? John Mark Comer in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says this, ultimately, nothing in life apart from God can satisfy our desires. Tragically, we continue to chase after our desires ad infinitum. The result, a chronic state of restlessness, or worse, angst, anxiety, disillusionment, depression, all of which leads to a life of hurry, a life of busyness, overload, shopping, materialism, careerism, a life of more, which in turn makes us more restless. And the cycle spirals out of control. So we need to, again, remind ourselves that God created us right in his image. We're image bearers. We're to create and cultivate. We're to do things for good. We're to use our talents. Whatever gift and talent you have, you're to use it for good. And that includes the use of technology. And being created by him also means that we have limits. Now, many of us don't like this idea of having limits on our devices or limits on anything. But limits are good. Because as we learned, if we don't keep track of those limits, if we don't have these limits, it can spiral out of control. Why do we have speed limits? Because if cars can go as fast as they want, there'll be more accidents, there'll be more deaths. Limits are good. They protect us. But here's our challenge. Our limits are often pushed because of technology. It incenses us to go beyond our limits. And when this happens, our dependence starts to shift away from God to these other things. Which leads us to the question of the day, which is point number one. Does our use of technology cause us to be more dependent on God or less dependent on him? Does it cause us to be more connected with him or more distracted from him? How do we best utilize our devices so that we become a people who are dependent on God and operate within our limits, right? But God, see, this is the beauty of God. God in his infinite wisdom doesn't leave us to our own devices. Okay? Play on words here. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. So he gives us his word. He gives us the word of God to speak truth into us, to help us know how to operate in this world. And he tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So when it comes to all the stuff we're worried and anxious about, he says, seek me first. So how do we develop habits that direct us towards seeking Jesus first? Bad habits are easy to form and hard to change, right? Think about it. I, I, A year ago, I started having a popcorn snack at 8 o'clock at night. And after, I don't know, a couple months, I thought, yeah, I'm going to stop this snack. Every time 8 o'clock rolled around, it was like popcorn time. My stomach was tasting popcorn. Habits are really difficult to change. And think about whether it's a smoking habit or an alcohol habit or a Netflix binging habit. Habits are incredibly powerful and difficult to change. So what habit are you creating with your television? What habit are you creating with Amazon Prime? What habit are you creating with your smartphone and social media? Think about how difficult it is not to have your device with you. Just a couple months ago, I was at work. I was at work, and it was mid-morning. All of a sudden, I recognized I didn't have my phone. And it was like, uh-oh. I rushed, got in my car, was driving home, and it was like I was halfway home, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I am literally addicted to this thing. I can't even go a couple hours without the phone. But it was like, I needed that phone. I wanted that phone. I might miss a message or whatever. Think about how hard it is to change habits and how connected we get to these devices. Habits are hard to change. And the only way to change a habit is to be intentional. The only way to flip the script is to rewrite it. And the only way to change it is to be intentional and specific, which is point number two. The only way to change our screen habits is to be specific and intentional. The only way to change our screen habits is to be intentional and specific. Now, God tells us in His Word, He makes it really clear about how to be intentional and specific. And so He tells us in 1 Peter, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your mind completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, he tells us, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Ephesians 6:10-11 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension and that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. God is calling us to take action. God is calling you to rewrite the script. God is calling us to be active in how we deal with our tech world, not passive recipients. See, most of us have just passively fallen into it. I have passively fallen into it, and all of a sudden, like, I'm running left and right to get my phone when I don't have it, and it's like, why? We've got to rethink this. We got to rewrite the script. Instead of those things controlling us, we need to manage them. And so God is calling us to create our game plan for success. He wants you to create practices that rewrite your script so that it updates our time with Jesus. It's time to download and install Jesus Update 15.0, right? Time to install that update. So as I go through these practices, I want you to take notes in your handout. By the way, if you don't have a pen, raise your hand because the greeters have pens. So please raise your hand high if you need a pen. We want everybody engaged. So just keep them up for a while as the greeters bring you pens. And as you think through these practices, now let me be clear. These are recommendations. These are suggestions. You know, figure out what makes sense for you. Okay, these aren't law here. So, but you may come up with your own ideas, right? And so use the blank space in the handout to just jot down ideas that this generates as we go through this. And I want you to remember this. Success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. Success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. That's how you become intentional. That's how changes happen. That's how major transformation happens over time. Small, incremental improvements day in and day out. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Proverbs 14:23, all the hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. So let's be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word this morning. So the practices I'm about to share come from a couple sources. One's from Andy Crouch's The TechWise Family. The other is John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And the third source is me. So I've made some adjustments to some of their suggestions, and I've created some of my own. But you know what you need to understand, all these practices aren't just like something we pulled out of thin air. There is research, there is science, there is neuroscience that ties into what we've learned over the last 10 years. So these don't lack credibility at all. And the interesting thing that I always find is that when we start to get these discoveries from research and science and neuroscience, it's like, man, we need to be stopped doing it. You look at God's word, he's been telling us all along how to live, right? God's word has been supporting it since the beginning. So are you ready? All right. TechWise practice number one. Some I'll go deep, some I'll go quickly through. We create more than we consume. We create more than we consume. This comes from Andy Crouch, and what he says is, you want to fill the center of your home with things that reward creativity, relationship, and active engagement. The idea here is that we find ways to do things together, right? We play games together, board games, card games, whatever. You play music together. You throw the ball in the yard. You do yard work together. But you're constantly doing things together rather than passive engagement like looking at your phone, watching the internet, or looking at the internet, watching a video, whatever. Unless you're doing it as a family with a purpose, it's like try to be more actively engaged, creating, doing things together than passively consuming. So how is your home life promoting active engagement with all ages in your family rather than passive consumption? We create more than we consume. Practice number two, we are designed for a rhythm of work and rest. Crouch goes on to say, so 1 hour a day, 1 week a year, or one hour a day, one day a week, and 1 week a year, we shut off our devices and worship, feast, rest, and play together. In other words, we flip the script by doing a digital detox for a period of time. You're not going to make any progress in this if you're unable to turn off your device. We're reminded of Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word Sabbath literally means to stop. Stop. Stop being on your devices. Stop always being on. Get unplugged. Stop being always connected. The whole purpose of the Sabbath is to bless you. It's to give you some R&R time. It's to refresh, to renew, to restore you. And it's to remind us that in only God can only God is the only one that can satisfy our ultimate desires. We're designed for a rhythm of work and rest. And let's take it further by unplugging an hour a day or 2 hours a day, whatever that is, and a week a year. I used to go on vacation. Right? I used to go on vacation. And when I go on vacation, my idea with catching up with work was I'll just spend like an hour a day maybe in work mode just knocking off emails. So when I come back, it's all cleaned up. I don't have to think about it. I did that for several years. And after a while, I thought, this is ridiculous. I said, I am not unplugged. I am not present at times with my family. This is distracting me, and I'm not totally relaxing. We've got to learn to find ways to totally unplug. So we are designed for rhythm of work and rest. TechWise practice number three. We wake up before our devices do, and they go to bed before we do. We wake up before our devices do, and they go to bed before we do. This could be a game changer for some of you. Did you know that the blue light that's emitted from this device, from a TV, from a laptop, restrains production of melatonin, which affects our sleep-wake cycle? So if we're looking at this stuff before going to bed, you're not going to sleep well. It's going to distract and hurt your ability to sleep. So I generally put my device to bed around 8:30 in the evening, right? I usually shut off then, and I don't get it until I'm ready to go to work. So it's after I've done everything and ready to go, then I get it. I'm not going to let it distract me. And when I put it to bed, I put it to bed in my office. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I use my phone to wake me up. Here's a suggestion for you. Get an alarm clock. It's cheap, and you'll sleep much better. Trust me on this. Get an alarm clock. So wake up before your devices do, and put them to bed before you do. TechWise practice number 4. We aim for no screens before double digits at school and at home. So what Crouch is talking about, that any child up to the age of 10, is we recommend not having them, giving them an electronic device that's theirs. And here's the reason why. And he goes on to say, and there'll be a quote on the screen here. He said, the entertainment we serve our children, whether it's electronic games or cartoons, is designed to fill the screen with a level of vividness and velocity that doesn't exist in the real world. Because it's rare, we instinctively respond to it. It's purposefully edited so that it never requires too much concentration or contemplation. Instead, it grabs our attention and constantly stimulates our desire and delight and novelty. And by doing so, it desensitizes us. And he goes on to say, his conclusion of the matter is that, especially with young children, is that the more you entertain children, the more bored they get. Because they're always seeking this passive stimulation. So he recommends reducing or eliminating passive screen time. Or at least you're going to do it together with a purpose. And he said, if we manage these things well and use our screens with a purpose, we're going to be a type of people who never get bored. Because all around us, God has given us so much in his creation and so many things that we can do to create, to keep our interests going. Now, there could be a whole message on this topic, but I'm just going to hit it very, very briefly here. Most research indicates that 30% of all internet traffic is tied to pornography. 30%. So having no technological secrets, no place to hide devices, having each other's passwords, spouses having each other's passwords, kind of can help in this area. And do you know one of the main reasons? There was a survey that was done with teenagers, and they wanted to find out, why do you search for porn? And you know what one of the top reasons was? Because they're bored. So curiosity gets the best of them. They start, seeking out things, and all of a sudden, they're looking at pornography. Having filters and limits are good. You need these. But here's the other piece I want you to really understand. All addictions feed on and are strengthened by an emptiness in relationships. All addictions and feed on and are strengthened by an emptiness in relationships. So what you want to do, especially as parents, you want to develop rituals and time together with your teens, where you're actively doing things together. TechWise practice number 5. Car, dinner, and restaurant time is conversation time. Did you know that most conversations take about 7 minutes to get started? So think about this. You're in the car with a family member. If we're on our devices, that conversation is not really going to go very far. But if we don't have the device going, there's a great opportunity for us to develop relationships, understand what's going on in each other's lives. So whether it's car, dinner, restaurant time, that's conversation time. TechWise practice number 6, never impulse buy. Amazon Prime and other sites make it so easy to order and get stuff that it incenses. We start to think, we got to have it, I got to have it, I need to have it, it's there, I'm going to get it there tomorrow. The best thing for us to do is give it a day or 2 days or a week before you make that purchase. Seriously, just forcing it to rest for a while will save you money and stop this addiction. TechWise practice number 7, recognize advertising for what it is, propaganda. Call out the lie. As we learned in the first part of our series, social media companies sell advertising, which gets suggested to you. And it always comes with a message. It's going to give you more. It's going to give you joy. It's going to give you this. It's going to solve your problem. Recognize the message is propaganda. Don't be a sucker. Call out the lie. TechWise practice number 8. cultivate a deep appreciation for creation. God created this world and it's very good. So go on walks, go to the park, go to the beach, and enjoy the creation that God has given us. Tech-wise, practice number 9, set specific times for email and unsubscribe from anything unnecessary. Most of us snack on email. You know what email snacking is? Every time you get a break, you start looking at your phone, checking email. And what that does is it prevents us from being present with people. And actually, it prevents our brains from actually using our brains for more creative type purposes. So set times for email and unsubscribe from all that other stuff that's coming to you. Tech-wise practice number 10, turn off all notifications, alerts, and sounds. All the alerts, notifications, and sounds are designed to stimulate you and hook you and get you going to whatever site that it's promoting. Constantly stimulates the brain and it leads to distraction. So you know, I actually this past week spent about an hour just going through my notifications off. I actually shut them all off, and then I wasn't even getting phone messages and stuff. I better put that one back on. But go through your phone and shut off the messages that are just distracting. Tech-wise practice number 11, set a time and time limit for social media or just get off it. I decided early on not to get on it, because I didn't want my personal stuff out there, and I also felt like, I don't think this is going to be good for me. I'm going to get caught up in comparison. It's going to just be a time waster for me. But for those that do it, make sure you set a time. You set a time so that it doesn't take over your life. And for those who tweet and post, give it a day or two before you respond to controversial matters, whether it's a president or a great NBA basketball player. Hasty and caustic tweets lead nothing but to division and anger rather than what we're called to do, which is bring peace and unity. And again, think of yourself. All of us can be in that same position. If we're out there just tweeting left and right, it can come off like that. Tech-wise, practice number 12, remove all social media apps from your phone. This is a huge one, a big one. And eliminate any app that doesn't save you time. Map apps, calculators, you know, to-do lists, these are all great for saving time. Beyond this, get rid of them. This is how you flip the script. Tech-wise practice number 13, take a regular day alone for silence and solitude. Anything to break up the routine from always being on. Give your chance of, you know, whether it's once a quarter or once a month, half day, whole day, whatever, but just get away, unplug. Allow yourself to think without being plugged in all the time. Tech-wise practice number 14, increase your DTWG. Who knows what DTWG is? What is it? Daily time with God, by spending time in God's word and prayer. The two best tools we have at our disposal is God's word and prayer. If you want more peace in your lives and less anxiety, if you want more clarity of purpose rather than confusion, if you want more power to overcome, your time in God's word and prayer are the two most important tools you have at your disposal. Psalm 119 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. James 5:16 says, the fervent prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. About a month or so ago, I got an email from someone after a message, and he's given me permission to read this to you because it kind of really ties to this subject, so I'm going to read some comments that he sent to me. And so this is what he had to say. This Sunday's and your last teaching have been hitting a chord with me, particularly in the theme of what are we giving our hearts to? And he said, I feel that this is an ongoing lesson for me. He says, a few months ago, I began to feel this heavy conviction around the time I had committed to the Father each morning. In short, I have a 90-minute window of time that I intended to use to spend in the Word, in prayer, and physical exercise. I was finding that despite making this time, I was most often snoozing right through and missing it. Anybody be there? Been there before? Knowing how much sleep I need, I still found myself borrowing an hour or so to read some news or watch a video and stealing it back from his time the next morning. The realization was heavy for me. His time, if my Father is who I say he is, how could it be that I had such low regard for this time to spend with him? And he said, reflecting on the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind, I found that there was some major heart work to be done. And my morning routine would be the first correction. And then he goes on to say, I really sought out to change this, and he has met me every step of the way. I have come to cherish my morning quiet time in the word and prayer, seeking the secret place where there is just he and I. He said, the impact in his home has been monumental. This growing understanding of my Heavenly Father's love for me has helped me love my own children in much deeper ways. Our morning routines have slowly taken a more disciplined approach to the necessities. And we have somehow found time to pray together and are working on learning hymns on our way to school. Think about the massive change. The script is being rewritten in his life with his family. And he says, as my mornings with him thrive, there soon became this stark contrast with work. So morning I felt plugged in, and then throughout the workday he was kind of like, I'm not feeling connected to God. He said, I had prioritized my job over God. But he says, there's all these modern day snares of Facebook, Instagram, video games, Netflix. It's a long list. And he says, if we were caught in a physical snare, we'd obviously cry out for help. How crafty is the deceiver that he has managed to ensnare both believer and unbeliever with all this social media stuff without them even knowing. And he goes on to say, there's free time at work, and surprisingly more than I thought, and I just didn't know it because I was so caught up in my device and all that it served. Every time you have free time, you get on the device. And then he quotes Proverbs 1:28. It starts out, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. This is God saying, they will seek me diligently, but will not find me. And verse 31 says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. And then God goes on to say, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure, who will be at ease without dread or disaster. Devices, the word devices, he said, hit me hard. One of those moments where I felt the truth written was there just for me. Obviously, I know the context does not refer to our electronic devices, but I sought to comfort myself with a better literal translation, but found no comfort. Contemplating these verses and the disconnect from the first and greatest commandment, I started to realize I was allowing myself to be ensnared in uselessness all day long by my device. There are obvious time sinks on our phones that we use intentionally to waste time, but the unintentional losses of time and attention, I believe, are stealing our opportunity for more intimate relationships, most importantly being our relationship with God. And he goes on to say, Apple has convinced us not only we need to have it on the phone, but we need to be connected by our watch too. He says, as I continue to seek God, he continues to teach and lead me too. And so he says, he's begun reading his Bible at work in the occasional 10-minute window instead of scrolling Facebook. God is freeing him of snares that he didn't even know he had. God is rewriting the script in that person's life. And God is saying to each one of you today, it's time to flip the script. It's time to stop being deceived by all this bombardment that's coming our way, and it's time to take action to rewrite the script when it comes to technology in your life. Again, technology is great, but we've got to manage it. Smartphone advertisements come with this promise, right? The iPhone 12, I looked it up, says the fastest chip in the smartphone, powers every experience. You'll be happier, you'll have more joy, you'll be more fulfilled. Listen to Jesus' promise. In John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Hear what he's saying? He's saying if we remain in him, we'll have abundance of fruit. If we remain in him, our joy will be complete. Isn't this what we're seeking after all the time? Our joy will be complete. The Greek word for joy is chara, which means calm, delight, gladness. It's an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. And Jesus is saying that the source of the joy is him. Our source of joy is Jesus Christ. If we remain in him, if we spend time with him, if we're not distracted by our devices, we will have joy. We'll be like Mary, who learned to sit at his feet instead of being distracted with technology like Martha. Several months ago, I said, more of this and less of this. More of this and less of this. Now, I'm not dissing Bible apps. I know you can use this for Bible and great pocket. Use it for that. I'm not saying that. I'm just speaking in generalities and principles. God is telling us to tune in to more of this and tune out less and have less of this. More of this and less of this. It's time to put away the distractions and spend time with him. Because it's only the word that speaks life into our beings. It's only the word that directs our path. It's only the word that heals our pain. It's only the word that changes a heart. Abiding with Jesus does far greater things than abiding with our devices. The one gives us more joy. The other gives us more anxiety. Which is it, joy or anxiety? What do you want? Past couple weeks, I decided to run my own experiment with myself. And so I thought, well, I'm in this series. I should probably follow what I'm practice what I'm preaching. And so I decided to shut off a lot of my devices in terms of things that I do in the evening, et cetera. And so for me, my addiction is the NBA. My addiction is sports, my addiction. And so I decided to shut it off. So when Thursday night rolled around and I want to listen to Kenny, you know, Charles and Shaq and Ernie or whatever, and I'd laugh at what Chuck says or whatever, I was like, nope, I'm not going to do that. And what I found is the last couple weeks being unplugged, I have more clarity of mind. It's actually, because what would happen to me is, especially if a team I was rooting for, I might, you know, if it was a late night game, next morning, first thing I do, check, okay, did they win, did they lose? I'd be mad if they lost, I'd be upset, I'd be excited if they won. This, again, I'm like you guys. I'm addicted like everybody else. And so what I learned from just unplugging just for a couple weeks was like, man, I'm getting time back. And I'm able to spend more time in prayer. I'm able to spend more time in the Word. I'm able to have a clear mind, be open to God's influence. And it's like, wow, there's a different way of living. You know, maybe God wants to rewrite the script in my life too. People of God, you need to understand that God alone has all the answers, not Google. Your phone, you might be able to search for a lot of answers on your phone, but not the most important ones. We've got to be intentional with how we spend our time and where we look for answers. It's time to rewrite the script so that the rest of your story is better than what's been happening over the last number of years. Is it time to rewrite the script? God has designed us with limits. And when we push past our limits with technology, we're taking off our game. But God reminded me during the past couple weeks as I was preparing for this message, he spoke to me and he said, you have limits, but I don't. Technology has limits, but I don't. With man, things are impossible, but with me, all things are possible. Technology can't satisfy your desires. But I can, God says. Technology's pleasures are shallow. God's pleasures run deep. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will flip the script that's being written. What script is being written in your lives right now? What's your screen time telling you? What story is being written? Is it impulse buying? Is it some type of addiction? Is it wanting to be liked? Is it getting caught up with comparison and anxiety's killing you? Are you so distracted that you're missing out on what's better? There's a script being written and it's heading in a direction just like the movie. And it's like, man, we can predict the way it's going to go. But God's saying, no, 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 the story's not over. I want to rewrite that script so that the ending, the rest of your story is much better than what's happening now. It's time to flip the script. Say it. It's time to flip the script. We have limits, but God doesn't. We may give up, but God doesn't. We may feel rejected, but God doesn't reject us. We might condemn ourselves, but God doesn't. He tells us in his word, therefore, now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. People of God, God is asking us to be strategic. He's asking us to be intentional. God is asking us to take action so that we flip the script. Whether you're 10 years old or 80, God is asking you to implement a strategy for your devices. So make a plan to flip your script. Make a plan to turn off the noise. Make a plan to spend more time with him. God is asking you to give him your script so he can rewrite the rest of the story. It's time to flip the script. Give him your internet addictions. Give him your time. Spend time, more time with him. Give him your wanting to be liked. Give him your limits, and he'll give you a breakthrough. Give him your script, and he'll flip it. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and your joy will be full. In him there is life. It is life abundantly. God is calling us to abide with him. He's calling us to spend time with him. And if we implement TechWise practices, the type of practices that we went over today, our time being distracted will go down, and our time with him goes up. More of this and less of this. More of time in the Word and less screen time. More of time, you know, it's like instead of this, you know, when they look back 100 years from now on humanity and they're going to have an image of the person, you know, what will they like? They're going to see an image like this. This is what you see all the time. This has happened in 10 years. We're all doing this now. That's the image they're going to look back at. And God is saying, it's less of this, it's more of this. It's less of this, it's more of looking to our risen Savior who can give us the victory over everything. God can supply all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. In God, we can overcome, right? More of this and less of this. Technology comes with a script. Technology comes with a promise. But the gospel comes with a script and a promise that's far greater than technology could ever write. Jesus Christ lived on this earth, died on the cross for our sin, and rose from the grave so that you and I have victory. You and I have purpose. You and I can overcome. You and I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And if we abide in him, our joy will be complete. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of this whole series. God wants to rewrite your script so that your story will become a story where you'll be the tech-wise people of God that become a blessing to all people. Amen? More Jesus time, less screen time. More Jesus time and less screen time. So as the worship team comes forward, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. I ask that you, you know, just kind of hold that document that you wrote your notes in or whatever and create your own plan. You may have some other ideas besides what's on there. I want to pray a blessing over you. And I want you to know again that and this is the beautiful thing about the gospel. God is for you. Right? That's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us all these directions. But he's not going to control us. We have a free will. And so we see the course that technology is taking, and he's saying, time out. Let me rewrite that script. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us, right? So let me pray for you. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father God, we give you this series. We give you this message. We give you our devices. We give you our addictions. We give you our distractions. We give you our impulse buying. We give you our anxiety. We give you our polarization. We give you our anger. We give you the stuff that's drawing us away from you. We want more of you and less of this stuff. So, Father, may we be a people who are intentional and specific, a people who seek you first, knowing that all these other things will be taken care of. May we be intentional and specific about what we're going to do with our devices so that we can be a people who spend more time with you like Mary and become less distracted like Martha. So may we be intentional and specific, and may we remember that you are for us, and if you are for us, nothing can stand against us. So, Father, we give you our hearts, we give you our minds, we give you your word today. May it not return void. Help us to stand and be counted, to take action and be the tech-wise people of God that you're calling us to be. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus the Messiah that we all pray. In Jesus' name, amen.